I could talk travel literally all day, every day. And one of the few people I know who could also do that is Barry Choi. He is the blogger behind The Money We Have, and he joins us now to give us his best budget travel tips. Hello, Barry.
Hey, Bruce. How are you?
It was a free trip to Australia when I was 18 that gave me, that I'm sure infected me with the travel bug. When were you hit? What hit you?
You know, I was having this conversation with someone earlier. As weird as it sounds, it was an art history class in college. It was the first time I had really been exposed to anything. This class showed you like the different paintings from museums around the world. But I actually remember the exact moment. It was this picture of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And
yeah.
I saw it, and I was like, I had never seen anything like this in my life. And I was just like, I got to go. It took a few years, but like once I got there, it's like I couldn't stop.
I know exactly where you're talking about. We took our, oh gosh, she was almost 2 years old. We spent a month in Spain, and the Dalí was one of the big things. Well, you know, I could reminisce on our trips, or we could give our listeners some helpful tips on how to spend less when they're on their own trips.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that I want to talk about because we don't talk about it enough, and that is about currency. Be smart about currency conversion. What should people know, and what are your tips to reducing the hit that that can be?
Okay, so currency conversion is something that I could talk about personally all day long, but I'm going to try to keep things simple for our listeners today. So what people got to understand is whenever you're making a charge in a foreign currency on your credit card, the majority of the time you're going to pay a foreign transaction fee, which is 2.5%. So whatever the spot exchange rate is at that day, you pay 2.5% extra. So that includes U.S. dollars, anything that's not Canadian dollars. Now, you can get around that. There's two credit cards that don't have any foreign transaction fees with them. So when you charge it, you're basically paying the spot rate. That's Amazon.ca credit card, and there's also the Marriott Rewards credit card. I personally prefer the Amazon card because there's no yearly fee. But that's just when you're charging credit. If you need cash, that's another story. So what people don't realize, when you go to your local bank, they set the rates, right? So I remember a few years ago, I was going to Brazil and I wanted to get some Brazilian real. And I knew the rate, but I went to the bank, they were marking it up almost 10%.
And this is the bank in Canada.
That's right, just my home. And I understand it's not a common currency, so I don't expect them to have super competitive rates, but 10% was like a lot. And, you know, I was thinking about taking out $1,000 Canadian, and so that's $100 I was paying in fees. So I said, forget that. I did a little bit of research at the time. I didn't know, and I realized that it was cheaper to use local ATMs. So similar to credit cards, I did have to pay that 2.5%, but that was way cheaper than 10%. Now, some people would argue that, hey, you know, you might have to pay a one-time fee. That's true in some cases, but if you max out your daily amount, you're minimizing those fees you're paying.
You can also just tape little maple leaf pins and some maple sugar, and then you're good to go.
It's like a barter system.
It's a barter system. So that's currencies. You advocate traveling with travel insurance, and I'm surprised by this as Canadians. I have had to use the medical system once or twice abroad. Why are you a proponent of travel insurance?
Well, it's just I don't think people realize how expensive medical attention is outside of Canada. We're a bit spoiled. We've got great health care. You know, I go to the doctor. You know, it doesn't cost me anything. But you could sprain your ankle in the U.S., and that trip to the ER or even a doctor could cost you a couple hundred dollars, whereas if you buy insurance, 2 weeks could last you like be only $100. Now, think about a big picture things. Think about like if you break your arm or you get hospitalized, right? All of a sudden, you're talking about thousands of dollars. Now, if it's something major, right, like a major accident, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars.
But there are certain things that your provincial medical, your OHIP or whatever the equivalent is, will cover.
That's correct. They'll cover just the equivalent amount. But in the U.S., those rates are significantly higher, right? So even when you travel outside of the province, so we're based in Ontario. So what it costs in Ontario may cost more in, say, Alberta. And people don't realize that you actually have to pay the difference. Or so when you're traveling within Canada to go to another province, you still have to get travel medical insurance. So again, say you're going to Manitoba, you want to go look at polar bears, and then you get mauled by one. Well, you're sitting all hips. Not
I think you have
that.
Bigger problems if you were mauled by a polar bear than paying extra for the stitches.
Well, exactly. But I think you understand it's like these little things. But the good thing is a lot of us actually have free travel insurance, which may be enough. Many employers offer medical insurance as a standard benefit. This does not include, you know,
getting mauled by a polar bear.
It probably would, actually.
Oh, good. Good to know.
Or accidental death in the worst case. But even like if you use a credit card, a travel credit card, a lot of those have insurance. But like any insurance policy, you need to read the details because you need to find out exactly what you're covered for how long, how much. And you want to find out if your dependents are covered also.
Your third tip's around flexibility, both in terms of timing and where you stay. Let's talk about timing. There, I mean, we know this when we look at flights. There, it can be a really big difference in terms of when you decide to fly. What have you found navigating this yourself?
You know, it seems obvious. So we'll talk about the obvious points first. In the summer, it's going to cost you more. Like, we all know that. So if you can fly in, you know, the spring or the fall, you're going to save a significant amount of money. But at the same time, you think about the time of day. I always find overnight flights tend to be a lot. Well, maybe a lot is not the right word, but it'll be maybe $100, $200 cheaper.
Because they're hideous and they're the worst. And you arrive at your destination feeling like you've been hit by a car.
Depends where you go. Like, when I go to Europe, I prefer the overnight because it's like, yeah, you wake. Well, you're not really waking up. You technically never went to sleep. But, you know, it's also the day of the week. You know, a good example is I just recently returned from Portugal. Now, I flew home on a Friday because it was a $500 difference per ticket.
Wow.
If I flew back on a Sunday. So I was like, all of a sudden, it's like, that is $1,000 between my wife and I. So yeah, we're like, yeah, our trip gets cut 2 days, but we saved $1,000. It sounds a bit ridiculous, but you know, it exists. And it's also about where you go to. Flexibility isn't just about the time of day. It's where you go to. You know, the same trip, when I was comparing it to LA, the flight prices were about the same. But a hotel in LA was 250 Canadian, whereas I could get 3 nights in Portugal for the same price. So in the end, my trip to Portugal was cheaper than going to LA. It sounds ridiculous, but you're just like, wow, it's like there's so many options. What people don't realize that if you've got set dates and a set location, you're not going to get a deal ever.
Right.
Right? You've got to be flexible.
Flexibility on accommodation. I was surprised to see you reference hostels because I have not stayed in a hostel since probably the 90s. It was probably $12. Yeah. It was a big dorm and you basically slept with your valuables under the pillow, ready to be attacked at any moment.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I haven't been in a hostel probably in about 10 years myself. But because I write about travel a lot, I'm constantly researching hostels. But even, you know, you look at hostels these days, they understand that they're competing with boutique hotels. Boutique hotels did not exist 10 years ago. So now hostels are creating, like, you know, great amenities where everyone's going to get Wi-Fi. You know, you've got art all over the walls, but the rooms are better. You're not going to find those 16-bed dorms where it's one washroom shared by 200 people anymore, right? You know, a standard bed configuration might be 4 to 6, and each individual room has a private washroom. So if you think about it as a family, you could rent an entire dorm, and it would be significantly cheaper than getting a hotel. Now, that's one thing. There's hostels. Everyone knows about Airbnb. You know, I remember 5 years ago, Airbnb was a new thing, and everyone was like, why would you want to stay in someone else's bed? It sounded like the creepiest thing ever. And now, like, everyone knows what Airbnb is. Like, everyone's into the sharing economy.
You have taken your baby moon. Your wife is pregnant. You're going to have a kid, what, in July or something. Can I extract a promise from you? Here's the promise I want you to make. You will continue to travel with your child.
Oh, yeah. It's funny you say that. We spoke to our friends and we were going to Portugal and they're like, oh, you're totally the type that's going to still travel with the baby. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I'm already thinking like early 2018 when my wife's almost getting back to work. I was like, oh, yeah, we can totally take a you know, hopefully a month long, maybe a little bit longer and travel. There's nothing that's going to stop us.
We will see you at the departure gate. Very Choi. Thanks very much.